Herzlich willkommen zu deinem Podcast Why Yoga for More Body, Mind and Soul Awareness. Schön, dass du eingeschalten hast. Ich bin Jessica Dieterich und zusammen mit Isabel Panther steigen wir jeden Mittwoch tiefer in die Welt von Yoga ein. Heute starten wir mit einer exklusiven Podcast-Reihe, in der wir drei Yogis zu den Themen Pandemie, Physical Distancing, Ängste und Stress interviewt haben. Mit dieser Reihe möchten wir dir zeigen, dass Ängste oder innere Unruhe in dieser ungewissen Zeit normal sind und jeder im Moment damit konfrontiert wird. Gleichzeitig geben wir dir wertvolle Yogi-Tipps an die Hand, wie du deinen Stress annehmen und damit arbeiten kannst. Im heutigen Interview befrage ich Melissa Maas aus New York zur aktuellen Corona-Lage in ihrem Land. Darüber hinaus berichtet sie dir, wie sie die Isolation nützt, sich selbst mit Atemübungen zu erden. Dabei erklärt sie ihre absolute Lieblingsübung im Podcast, die du sofort selbst ausprobieren kannst. Das ist jedoch nicht ihre einzige Übung oder Tipp. Mehr erfährst du im Interview. Diese Folge ist auf Englisch und auf YouTube findest du das Video zur Podcast-Folge mit deutschem Untertitel. Dann lass uns mit dem ersten Interview zur exklusiven Podcast-Reihe gleich loslegen. Viel Spaß!
Yeah, welcome to our podcast, Why Yoga. I'm so happy that you're here, Melissa.
I'm so happy to be here.
We know each other from our teacher training in Bali with Megan, and I thought I need to get in touch with you and talk to you a little bit about the situation right now, the virus crisis, and as well how to deal with the situation in a way of doing yoga or whatever you're doing. So yeah, that's gonna be our topic, and I just want you to introduce yourself.
Yeah, sure.
Who are you and what are you doing?
My name is Melissa Maas. I am a yoga instructor and artist. And I've been teaching for 7-8 years, somewhere around there. And like you had mentioned, just did another teacher training with Megan Curry, which is where I met you, Jess, and so many other valuable people that I hope to stay in touch with forever. I live in upstate New York. I'm in Buffalo. And just to give you a little rundown of things here is we are, like much of the rest of the world, self-isolating. It's not, I know some cities in the States are like giving you fines and stuff if you go out. We're not that serious here yet. Hopefully we don't get that way, but it seems like people in this town are taking it seriously, so hopefully there won't need to be additional measures. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this time is crazy. Like, I don't even need to say it, but none of us have experienced anything like this before.
No. Yeah, so everything is canceled in New York as well. Like, you cannot go out for, I don't know, just for supermarkets, or what are the rules there?
Yeah, we can still go out to the supermarket. They want you to stay like about 6 feet, 3 meters apart. Yeah, that even like passing people on the street, like people cross the street to not get near each other. But there's no, where I live, there's no like real strict rules yet, which I appreciate. We're all adults and hopefully we can just, you know, be smart about this. But I have a dog, so I'm out walking a lot and I do see a lot of people, but we do keep our distance. And, but as a community, it feels like I feel like I talk to my neighbors more.
Yeah.
Because I'm at home.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit nice because I'm also new to this city. So it's been tough being you know, in an unfamiliar place, and now with this added unfamiliar territory,
mm-hmm.
Definitely is tough to navigate sometimes.
So it's actually a nice way to meet each other, even though you should keep the distance, right?
Yeah. And like my neighborhood is doing like really cute things. Like there's a Instagram for like the, I live in Elmwood Village, and Elmwood Village Association is doing like each few days they have a different theme, and you like make a piece of artwork and hang it in your window, and then as people are out walking they can look at like, you know, this week it's rainbows and
cool.
So there are some really beautiful things of connecting people that are happening right now that wouldn't have otherwise been happening.
Yeah. Well, you said that you're teaching yoga since 8 years, and how did it come that yoga came into your life? What is your story? Why yoga?
Oh yeah, good question. The ultimate question of this podcast. Well, I've been doing yoga for about 22 years. It's been a long time. So I started when I was a teen, and back then there weren't many studios around. There was one studio near where I grew up, and it wasn't even like what we would call a studio. It was like a very small room, maybe 10 feet by 10 feet. There were like three students. The woman was like a reflexology instructor and did like a few yoga things here and there, but she also taught us reflexology as part of our yoga practice, which was really cool. And back then I didn't know anything about it other than like, it made me feel good. And then she eventually closed down and there was no other place to go. So I started doing a home practice, and I think probably a lot of people are familiar with the old like Gaiam VHS tapes that were like almost all Rodney Yee.
Okay.
So I practiced a lot with videotapes with Rodney Yee. At the time I worked for a company called The Nature Company, and they were a partner with Gaiam, so I was easily able to get a hold of that stuff. And we sold props and stuff. So I was able to like continue that home practice. And then fast forward a couple of years, it got like, just, I was trying to practice in studios and it just became too expensive as like a college student. And then I got married and just like less and less time for all of that. And then I started having like weird health issues. Like I was having like lots of problems with inflammation, with my sinuses, with my throat. And for about 2 years was going to the doctor, was getting like blood tests. And they would just treat me for like a sinus infection again and again. And like, I would never feel fully better. And so there just came a time where I was like, I have to like do something myself. Like this is not working. And like the throat thing was like unreal. I can't even tell you how bad it was. But so I just in my head was like, you know, I always felt good when I was doing yoga. I should go back to that. So I started going back. I joined a studio and was going like 4 or 5 times a week.
Wow.
And within 2 weeks, I could breathe through my nose for the first time in almost 2 years.
Amazing.
Yeah, without medication, you know?
Wow.
So that, and a few other things, I had this like tear in my shoulder that was bothering me for like 5 years, and in a couple months that like went away and never came back, like, because I kept like re-injuring it. And then after doing yoga a few months, that went away, and it addressed so many things that I was having trouble addressing that I just was like, I have to know more about this. And I want to be able, like, everyone should be able to heal themselves this way. Mm-hmm. And once you know, like, you don't even know how it works at first, but it works. So do it. So I found my first training I did with this teacher, Ranjita Sandeep. And what drew me to her was she wasn't like, I was kind of like turned off by a lot of the super hippy dippy yoga people. I just couldn't latch on to that. And now I'm more open to a lot of that stuff, but back then I wasn't. And she was an engineer for Bell Labs, and then her co-teacher was like a climatologist for NASA. And I was like, all right, these are my people. They're like, you know, they've got their one foot in the spiritual world and one foot in the science world. And that like really makes a lot of sense to me. It feels like they'll be able to give me what I'm looking for. And then they also had a new nurse practitioner that taught the anatomy part.
Cool.
And yeah, so I did my 300 hour teacher training with her. And then I did a 500 hour teacher training with her. And then I began to work for her program. So I helped train other teachers. Mm-hmm. And at the time I owned a yoga studio too. I opened a studio during that 500 hour teacher training. It changed my life. It changed me physically. It changed, you know, I grew up and was always like really shy and really like didn't have a lot of confidence, and teaching really, I found myself in a way and felt confident and felt like I love teaching. It's my favorite thing.
So beautiful.
And I love being able to see people get better, and I love being able to teach people how to do things on their own. Like, they don't have to come to class. Like, I want people to empower people to, you know, be learning about themselves and to feel what they need, you know?
Yeah. What a lovely story. I love it. It's so transformative. So you said that it helped you to get into your body and to solve issues that you didn't know how to solve it, right? Like pains and the thing with your throat. Is there anything that you can adapt right now to the situation of this fear we have because of the pandemic, or this, you know, like this uncertain time? Is there anything you can relate with what you learned before?
For sure. Like, the more and more I've practiced yoga, the more in tune I am with like the subtleties in my body, where, you know, before I definitely wasn't. And I definitely feel, you know, this, don't want to sugarcoat it, and there are great things happening, but this is like a really, really tough, trying time. And in my practice, I feel it. I feel it in my body. Like, I can feel the stress of my brain in my body. And so I'm just trying to give myself space to feel that, but also, like, I don't know, if you push it away, you just make it, you can't push the stress away. You can't avoid the stress. Otherwise, it just makes more stress.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely usually into more of like a powerful practice. And I've found in the last few weeks, I'm definitely just doing a lot more gentle stretching. I haven't been doing any like really powerful practices because my body's tired already.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm stressed out.
Yeah.
I'm anxious. And so, yeah, I'm just trying to listen to myself and trying to not be like, wow, like, you know, like, I know a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to come out of this thing and I'm going to be so fit. And now it's time to get fit. And you know, it's just, don't kid yourself and like, listen to what your body needs, because, you know, I would love to come out of this and have lost 10 pounds and look like $1 million. But the reality is that I need to give myself space and, yeah, and take things really slow. And sometimes that's just sitting and doing, you know, 15 minutes of very gentle breath work. I'm not even doing any intense breath work, just mm-hmm. really chill, like the Nadi Shodhana, mm-hmm. Opposite nostrils, or just sitting with your eyes closed and breathing really deep. And that stuff, as simple as it is, goes a really long way, mm-hmm. As you probably know in your practice too.
Do you want to explain one of the breath exercises for our listeners that they can do it at home?
Yeah, sure. My favorite one is Nadi Shodhana, which I just briefly mentioned, and it's the alternate nostril breathing. It's good for just like balancing yourself, and good for stress and anxiety, and slows your heart rate, all that good stuff. So all you do is you find a comfy seat and sit nice and tall. And I like to close my eyes and just start to connect with my natural rate of breath. Mm-hmm. And you'll notice, even if you're starting this out nervous, that just by paying attention to your breath will start to slow. So you just come to a nice seat, focusing on the breath, and then when you're ready, you take your right hand, thumb to the right nostril. I like to place my pointer finger on my forehead just to rest my arm a little. Thumb to the right nostril, and then I breathe in through the left, and then out through the left, and then back in through the left. And I close the left nostril off, hold at the top for a moment, nothing forceful, but then exhale out the right as I release the thumb, and then inhale through the right nostril, close it off, hold, exhale back out the left, inhale through the left, close, hold, exhale out the right. And so I'll do this for about a minute and maybe just come back to regular breathing. And if I want to do another round, I'll do another minute. And the only other thing is you just start and end on the left nostril.
Okay.
The left side is more of the parasympathetic nervous system stimulation, which is like relaxation. Yeah, and that's it. It's so easy. Anyone can do it. If you can breathe, you can do it. And, you know, it's not, some of the other breath exercises are very like stimulating and energetic. And this one is definitely like, I'm trying to stay away from stimulation.
You have to go on outside. Yeah.
You've got enough stimulation. So this definitely like chills you out and grounds you, and you can do it anytime.
It's so nice, so easy. It's like, it's a tool you have always with you. It doesn't matter where you are, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And is there any person or any book that inspires you right now in this situation and helps you to keep centered and grounded?
Yeah. I am a huge fan of someone called the Word Man of Alcatraz. Mm-hmm. And he's a writer and musician, and some of my favorite work from his that I've listened to for probably 10 years. It's been around for a while. He's got this one album that's spoken word, and it's called Solitary Refinement. Mm-hmm. And he's a Qigong instructor also. So his words are very like similar to our yoga philosophies. and just, yeah, you should check him out. He's really, really good. And, you know, through my first yoga training, he was like, I was listening to that album a lot, and it was echoing so many of the things that I was learning through yoga philosophy. And it just, you know, that always helps to hear things in a few different ways. And I still listen to that album all the time.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it in the show notes. So people can find it, and maybe they're inspired and they feel the same. Nice and calm when they listen to it.
And what better time? Like, I was thinking this too, like solitary refinement. That's what we're all doing right now, right?
Yeah. This time is on one hand, it's like really, I don't know, weird and confusing. But on the other hand, it's a gift because you have that time for yourself and you can check in every day, because there's nothing else to do. You cannot meet people. You really need to be by yourself.
Yeah. Well, and I found too that like there are times where I feel guilty, like I should be doing something else, or I should be making money, or I should be looking for a new job or whatever. And that, like, it changes my creative expression, where like I put off, like maybe I have an idea for a painting and I'm like, oh, I really want to do this, but I should be looking for a new job. So like I'm gonna shelf that and do it later. And so I don't do them because I feel guilty.
Yeah.
And now I'm like off the hook because no one's hiring. No one's doing anything else. So this is, you know, it has allowed in a way this creative energy to come out in a way where I don't feel it. I mean, it sucks that I normally feel guilty.
Yeah.
You know, following that.
I know the situation. I actually said it a few days ago to, I don't know, to whom, a friend. And I was like, you know, it feels so good because you can't do anything else. You cannot judge yourself because you didn't do this or this or this. It's like this judgment is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a different weight put on us, but it's also allowing this other weight to be released.
Yeah. It's always good to have many perspectives, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I would like to know if you have any other tips for persons who feel, you know, who don't know how to deal with that situation. Like, we had the tip of breath exercises or listening to that album you mentioned. Is there anything else you can give as experienced yogi to help people in this situation?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, one of the most important things as a yogi or any person is just staying connected with people and talking about how you're feeling. You know, I have a lot of friends. I used to work for Wanderlust, and a lot of my friends at Wanderlust, we've traveled and done so much together. And so we've been having these video chats, and we're starting to have fun with it, where we each teach something when we get online. And, you know, my one friend, Bethany, is a chef, and she taught us how to cook, you know, dinner, a meal the other night. And just having stuff like that to look forward to, and talking about your feelings, or even if you don't want to talk to your friends about your feelings, or you feel like maybe that's burdensome if they're feeling really stressed. Journaling helps a lot. You know, as you know, we journaled several times a day when we were in Bali for that month, and it does have a way of allowing you to get into your thoughts in a different way. And sometimes things come out that you didn't even know were maybe bothering you, or maybe you have some great new creative ideas that come out in your journaling. And also it'll be cool to look back on and remember how you were feeling in this moment, good and bad. Because I think everyone is on this wave of every day you're like this.
Yeah.
So I would say journaling and just keeping in touch with your community, however you can.
That's nice. I like those tips. I started journaling again as well. It's like I came back to healthy routines.
Yeah. It's a good time to reinstall your healthy routines.
Yeah. And is there, like, how can people find you if they want to know more about you or connect to you?
Probably the easiest way is on Instagram. That's what I use the most, and that links to like my website and everything there. So it's just Moss Art and Yoga, and there's underscores in between.
Yeah, I put it in the show notes.
Cool. Yeah. Instagram is probably the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I also know that you're not just teaching yoga, you have a lot of other art projects, and you're like a creator, right?
I'm always doing something.
Yeah, and she has a really beautiful voice. She sings.
Yeah, I sing sometimes too. I do. I have trouble focusing on one thing. Yoga is probably the longest running thing in my life, but everything else kind of comes and goes. And happily so. It's like they all feed each other. It's all creative energy. So
yeah.
It comes out many different ways or whatever, you know. Oh, I want to try that. I'm going to, you know.
It's amazing that you allow yourself to just do whatever your heart tells you to do, you know, and to just go.
It was a bit of a roadblock to get to a place where I allow myself that, because you feel, especially as an artist, that like does a terrible job marketing herself, which I do a terrible job. But to market yourself, you have to have like a thing, right?
Yeah.
And I don't have a thing because I'm always doing something else. And so that can, for a lot of creative people, cause a lot of stress, feeling like you're supposed to be doing things a certain way or following a certain formula. And I don't know, I've found so much freedom in just letting that go and allowing myself to do, you know, last week I was like, I'm going to try macrame, and I ordered a bunch of cord and I made like a handbag. Like,
that's so cool.
Just like, I don't know, whatever in the moment I feel like doing, you know.
Yeah.
And it allows my other art to be better because there's not like a blockage of that I should be doing this or I should be doing it that way. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much for this interview. I mean, it was a different interview that normally we're talking more about the story, but for us it was important to know how you dealing with this situation and what tips you have. And I think there were a lot of good things there already that people are hopefully getting inspired.
yeah, for sure. Thank you for doing this. I think it's important for everyone to know, like, by staying in touch and hearing other people's voices, especially in other countries, that we're all in the same boat and we're all a bit scared, and we're all also a bit excited to be alone sometimes, and we're all having a lot of emotions.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where we are or which nationality we are, right? We're sitting in the same boat and it's called Earth. And I think this is like such a beautiful connection, actually. Like, everyone has the same problem right now and we need to find a solution, and this is connecting us all.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Well, Thank you so much.